While we're turning there, if you happen to have forgot your Bible in the scramble of getting up and getting ready to church for church, the doorkeepers will be glad to hand you a Bible. You just need to pick your hand up, and the doorkeepers will come along and give you a Bible to use. Couple of announcements. Matt's mother, Jean, will have a memorial service for her on Tuesday at 10 o'clock at River Valley, for those of you guys that are interested. And also, we have a website up. So if you ever, for some crazy reason, forget to come to church or can't make it on Wednesday or Sunday, you can catch up on the website, www.edgewaterfellowship.org. And so that might be a handy tool for you. There's also lots of other information on there as well that you guys could check out. We need help assisting the parking lot ministry. That catches anybody's ear. You can get a hold of Pastor Glenn Litweller. We've got a scuba diving ministry coming up. And on Thursday, February 9th, all those that are interested in learning scuba, there's going to be a meeting at 7 o'clock p.m. for the beginning of getting your certification. And children's ministry, if you have any interest in working with the grade school kids, get a hold of me at the Edgewater office, and there's a lot of opportunity for you there, too. So, Proverbs chapter 6. I wasn't exactly sure what I should share when I was asked to teach this morning's message. I pondered a few things, and so as I was thinking about where I should go, what should I share? And just kind of talking to the Lord and praying it through, this particular scripture just kept coming to my mind. And I was trying to avoid it. All right, Lord, where do you want me to go, though? I don't want to teach that. What do you have for me, Lord? What should I teach on Sunday morning? And my mind kept on going to this scripture. And so I thought about it, and I said, no, Lord, seriously, I'm not going to teach that. What do you really want me to teach? And then it kept on getting confirmed and confirmed and confirmed, and I could not avoid it. All right, Lord, I'll do it. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6, when I asked the Lord where I should go this morning, he said, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Thanks, Lord. Who says the Lord doesn't have a sense of humor? Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise. Go to the ant? I don't want to go to the ant, Lord. Why can't I teach on something big? Why can't I share on Goliath and overcoming the obstacles that are in our way and living in victory and being a giant slayer like David or David's mighty men or Caleb killing giants as bread for us? Why can't I teach on something like that? But my heart kept on going to this one scripture. Why can't I teach on something a little bigger than the ant? How about putting on the armor of God and fighting the forces of evil? Sound like a superhero now. But no, this tiny, little, minuscule bug. But the amazing thing is this. This tiny little bug, the ant, has got a gigantic amount of wisdom to share with every single one of us. It's mind-blowing. If we just take this morning and consider the ant, there is so much that we can apply to our lives. Not just our lives individually, there's even so much that we can apply. Just by looking at the ant, there's so much that we can apply to our church corporately. For instance, take this ant called the army ant, the driver ant. This ant, it's not like typical ants where it goes and lives in a den or lives in an ant hole. It moves around a lot more than a lot of other colonies, and because it does, it doesn't build ant holes that are stationary like a lot of ants do, because it moves from place to place. But it does build kind of a fortress. It does build a house to live in, but it uses itself in order to do it. All the ants just cling together, and they hang on, and they bite on each other, and they hang on, and they make their own walls that all the other ants can live in and be protected. Reminds me a lot of Edgewater Christian Fellowship, a church without walls. It's not the building that makes up the church. It's not the cathedral. It's the people. It's pretty interesting. And looking at the ant, we can see how a church should function. It's pretty incredible. A colony of ant, every ant in the colony has got a specific task that they constantly tend to, a specific lane that they move in. It reminds me of the first teaching that Matt Heberle ever gave here for Edgewater Christian Fellowship back in October. Everybody has got a lane of ministry that God has called them for. And so now you don't have to be stretched beyond your measure. But God has called us to a specific lane. Like 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Romans chapter 12 says that we're one body with many members. Just like the ant. The ant has got workers. The ant's got soldiers. The ant's got gatherers. And we are one body with many members. And each member has got specific gifts according to the grace that's given. But functioning as one body. It's pretty cool. The ant exemplifies and displays for us the function of a church. But not only that, just looking at the ant, just considering the ant, it also displays the strength of fellowship in the church. One ant by itself can do nothing. It's useless. You just squish it and it's toast. But if you take a colony of ants, it is mind-blowing what one colony of ants can do. It's crazy what they can do. They've been known to take out trees. There's colonies of ants that will wipe out trees. Any tree that they're not using as their own nest, they'll just destroy. Working together as a colony. In fact, ants have even been known to change entire ecosystems. Change the balance of nature. We've got an ant here that in America that got shipped in on coffee crates. It's called the Argentine ant. And it started eating out other ant colonies and taking other ant colonies and destroying them. And because of that, all these other animals that had this food source of our own native ants started to die off, like the horned lizard. They're just dying off because they don't have any natural food source anymore, and they're not going to eat the Argentine ants. They're afraid of them. They're too big and tough. As they work together, it's amazing what they can conquer. It's incredible. The strength and fellowship as we work together, the things that we can do as a body corporately, it's mind-blowing. That's why the writer of Hebrews says, don't forsake the assembling together of the brethren. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So much can be done. Fellowship is so key. In fact, fellowship groups are meeting tonight, if you're interested in getting plugged into a fellowship group. But the ant displays so much. It even displays for us the effect that the church has on the world around us. Take that driver ant, the soldier ant. These ants are amazing because they don't stay in one place. They move. They move about every 17 days or so. And wherever they go, they just annihilate everything in their path. They just take it out. Nothing can stop these driver ants. If they come across a stream, they'll just burrow a tunnel all the way under the stream to get across. If they come to a river, they all clump together in a gigantic ball and float across the river, and then just keep going. These ants are, and then wherever they go, wherever they kind of station themselves for those 17 days, they just eat everything that they can. One colony of driver ants can eat up to 100,000 animals in one day. Everything from tiny little bugs all the way to chickens. These ants are tough when they work together. And there's villagers over in Eastern Africa that have gotten accustomed to these ants, and there's nothing they can do. These ants move through their villages, and a lot of these villages grow bean crops. And when these ants are moving through, they come in these gigantic droves. You can hear them coming. This is gigantic roads of ants coming into their village, and there's nothing they can do. And so they just kind of get in their huts and in their houses. And these ants get into their bean fields, and they get into their houses. The only thing they can really do is kind of sit on their bed with a torch and try to drive off the ants from getting into their bed. And they stay there. A couple weeks later, all the ants just move out and move on because everything's just been destroyed, except for their bean crops. They kill everything that was threatening their bean crops. They just clean house. These villagers learn to love these ants because they come in and they just clean up. Everything that was threatening their environment, everything that was threatening their crops, these ants just destroyed. Isn't that just like the church? Whatever is threatening us that the enemy tries to destroy our lives with, when the church moves in, it subdues the enemy. The ants are an amazing picture for us. There's a lot of wisdom in this little creature. But if I was to say the ant was one thing, above anything else, I would say the ant is faithful. That's what an ant is for me. It is faithful. They always show up. There's nothing you can do. If you have a picnic, you don't invite them, but they come. They always show up. They're faithful. They're faithful and they're persistent. You ever tried to kill an ant colony? I think it's totally impossible. I think the best that you can do is get them to move to your neighbor's house. Killing them, they've never been successful. You go out to your front yard and you see that you have an anthill in your front yard. All right, that's fine. You go get your shovel and your hose and you start digging it up, and you got to dig deep because you know the queen's down in there somewhere with her eggs. And so you got to dig deep. You get the hose, put it on straight stream, spray the ants. You got rivers of ants going out all over the street. Use the shovel again, make some ant soup. That's it. Finally. Took a little work, but I got rid of them. You go back in the house, come out the next day, and 5 feet over, there's another ant hill. And it looks like there's more ants than there ever was before. They always just appear. They show up. All right. It's war. You just declared war on me. You don't know what you got into. You go into the garage, get your fuel can, dump gas all over the ants. I got a lot more resources than you guys do. Toast. Ants are sizzling all over your yard. Sorry, guys. It's my yard. I got to take care of it. You go back into your house. You don't realize that you just lit a fire in your front yard in the middle of August. Your whole entire front yard goes up in flames. You barely save your house. That's the price that you have to pay, I guess. You have to re-landscape anyways. So you go in, come back out, and there's another anthill, right, probably in the only place in your whole entire yard that didn't get charred. And there's even more ants. All right, it's time to pull out the big guns. It's time to get the heavy artillery. So you go to the store, and you get the biggest tub of insecticide that you can find. Doesn't matter how much it costs. You buy three of them. And you come back, and this stuff is so potent, as soon as you take it out of the bag, the ants start dying off. And you just pour all three of those big tubs of insecticide all over the ants, and they're done. You got them. You almost died because of the fumes. And you go back inside your house, and there's an anthill right in your living room carpet. They always show up. They are determined, but they are faithful. And that's what this proverb, one of the great wisdom that this proverb lays out for us, is the faithfulness of an ant. Verse 7 says, it's got no guide, it's got no overseer or ruler, but it provides her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Doesn't need to be told what to do. It doesn't need to be told what its job is and what its task is. It just faithfully and consistently and continually does its job. It just works and it's always gathering. Whatever the job of the ant is, it's always working. It's always showing up. It's so faithful. And I have been so blessed to see that at Edgewater Christian Fellowship. People that are so incredibly faithful. I see every single service in the children's ministry. They just show up. It's amazing to me. We've got workers in there that get down on the ground and just play with the kids and play games with them and give them crafts. We've got worship leaders that sing silly songs and praise songs to the kids every single service. We've got teachers that sit down with the kids and tell Bible stories, and they show up week after week. We've got craft people that bring these amazing crafts. I don't even know who half the craft people are. All I know is this, that every single service, a craft just shows up on the table, and I have no idea who brought it. And these crafts are just amazing. And those things that these children's ministry workers are doing faithfully is bearing much fruit in these kids' lives for a long time. It's going to be lasting. And all over the board, with the doorkeepers, with the parking lot attendants, with the coffee. That's an important ministry to me, having coffee. The giving, everything is allowing this church to function the way that it should. It's faithfulness. Faithfulness is such a key to spiritual life. It's such a key. This faithfulness, it can affect every part of our lives. It really can. It can affect our physical life. We can benefit from the ant's faithfulness physically. Take the gym in January. It's packed, but then February rolls around, starts to thin out a little bit, people start to lose interest, then March, it's even less, on throughout the year. And who benefits the most from going to the gym? It's not the guy that goes for 5 hours every single time and works out 7 days a week. Nope, it's the person that, they might go only a couple or three times a week for a half hour or an hour, but they make it all the way to the next January. They benefit the most. because it's faithfulness. We can benefit from the ant and faithfulness, just in our physical lives, but also even in our financial lives. You don't have to put tons away. Nope, just a little bit, just crumbs. A little bit at a time, just faithfully, consistently. Before you know it, you got a little nest egg. It's a little egg, but it's something. It's faithfulness. But the best way we can benefit from the ant, I'm convinced of, is in our spiritual life. And just being faithful. Just being faithful to what God has called us to do. This is such an important principle to spiritual life. Why is it so important? Why did I camp out on this one instead of all the other great pieces of wisdom that the ant gives us? Because when we're faithful, we're doing two things for ourselves and for our body. When we're faithful, we're doing two things. The first thing that we're doing when we're faithful is that we're growing. What do you mean? It's like this. If an ant goes up to an apple and says, "That is what I want. I don't want anything else. I'm tired. I don't want these scraps. I don't want these tiny little crumbs. I want an apple. I know that's what I'm supposed to have." And so it stands there and just waits for the apple, while all the other ants around it are gathering the little crumbs and making these little stockpiles, and that ant is so focused on the apple that it misses out on everything. I think a lot of Christians can be that way. This is what the Lord has called for me. I know this is what the Lord wants me to do. I feel it in my heart. And doesn't the Bible say if you delight in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart? Well, this is what I want. And so I'm just going to wait to get it. When there's an opportunity here and an opportunity there, that passes up. No, it's not as grand as that one. And they can miss out on everything. I have no doubt that the Lord has prepared for every single one of us amazing things. Mind-blowing things. But sometimes it takes a whole bunch of little things to get us there. Sometimes the Lord uses a whole bunch of little things to get us to what He has prepared for us. And I know that He's prepared great things for us because that's what the Word says. The Word says in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, "I have given to you all things that pertain to life and godliness." I've given you all things that pertain to life, and I've given you all things that pertain to godliness. It's past tense. He's already given it to us. It's already there for the taking. He said in Joshua chapter 1, "Joshua, everywhere the sole of your foot treads upon, that I have given to you. I have prepared so much for you." You just might not be prepared for it just yet. And so take this. It's going to get you ready. Take this. It's like in Exodus chapter 23. When the children of Israel were going to move into the promised land, this land that God had promised them, this is what the Lord said. He said, "I've given you this land. I'm going to drive out the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites and all the other ites. I'm going to drive them out. But I'm not going to give you the land all at once, lest it become too much for you and you can't handle it. I'm going to give it to you little by little by little until you be increased, until you're strong enough to be able to handle it. I'm going to give you a little bit at a time." That's what an ant does. It just gathers a little bit at a time. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. Jesus said, when you're faithful in the little things, I'll entrust to you greater things. Don't despise the day of small things. I want to be a worship leader and worship in front of multitudes of people, but the only thing that's available is a third grade ministry. Maybe that's what the Lord will use to prepare you for something else. Little things along the way. Faithfulness, because it causes us to grow. Those little things along the way train us to be able to receive the great things that God has in store. I wonder if David would have backed off from Goliath if he hadn't have already fought in a lion and a bear. I wonder. But remember what David said to Saul when he said, "I'll fight the giant"? Saul said, "Who do you think you are? Go on home, son. You're bothering me. Scram. You're just a kid." And David said, "Nope. The Lord delivered me from a lion. The Lord delivered me from a bear. I know the Lord is going to deliver me from this dumb giant." He was prepared along the way. Faithful. In our faithfulness, we're growing. And we're growing so we'll be able to receive all that God has for us. But not only that. In our faithfulness, we're also sowing. We're sowing seeds. Just like Paul says, don't grow weary in well-doing. Because whatever you sow, you will also reap. Just don't lose heart. I don't want you to miss out on the harvest. Don't throw in the towel. Don't think that what you're doing is unimportant, because it is. And there's going to be a harvest coming. Don't miss out. Ask the prodigal son. The prodigal son, he got tired of working in the family farm. He grew weary, and he was done with it. He couldn't stick around any longer. And so he said, "Dad, I'm taking off. Give me my inheritance now. I'm leaving." And so he went and he spent his inheritance on riotous living. He spent his inheritance on harlots and partying. And before he knew it, he wound up in the pig's pen, eating the slop from the pig's pen. He was spent. His money was spent. And so he thought to himself, if I could just go back to my father's house and just beg him to be one of his hired servants, then it would be all right. I can't take this anymore. It's amazing to me that the lowest place in the Father's house is better than all the world has to offer. It's a hard way to learn that, though. But he goes back on his knees to his father's house, and of course, his father, when he sees his son, he goes running to him, puts the robe around his son, signifying that we're robed in his righteousness. Puts the ring on his finger and the sandals on his feet and says, my son, you were lost and now you're found. You were dead and now you're alive. And took his son back with open arms. And then had his servants kill the fatted calf and throw a huge party for his son that's now found. But then when the brother heard about this, the brother was furious. He wouldn't even go in. And the father had to come out to see what was wrong. And the brother said, "Dad, I have been in here working in this farm, working for you day in and day out, year in and year out, and you never killed the fatted calf for me. You never had a big party for me. And here my brother spent all of his inheritance on harlots, and you're killing the fatted calf for him." And the father says this. The father said, "Son, you are ever with me, and all that I have is yours." In other words, you've got a harvest coming. All that I have is yours. Your brother, of course, I'll welcome him back. It's a great picture of us. When we fall short of the glory of God, when we blow it, when we mess up, when we stumble and fall, you can guarantee that you can always come back to the Father and have open arms to receive you. It's a guarantee. We always can come back and have a place in the kingdom. But what harvest did we miss out on? You see, the brother that stuck around, that didn't grow weary, he's got a big harvest coming. And his harvest was continuing to grow. As he tended to his father's house, those sheep would make more sheep. Those oxen would make more oxen. Until it was time to have the harvest. Until he was prepared enough to receive it. Don't grow weary in well-doing. It's faithfulness. In our faithfulness, we're growing. In our faithfulness, we're sowing. So next time you see an ant, tell him thanks. It's a tiny little creature, seemingly insignificant, but it's actually got a huge lesson of wisdom for all of us. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that we can serve you faithfully because you have been faithful to us. Lord, we thank you so much for the things that you have prepared for us that we have no idea of. Lord, we thank you for this church and the way that it functions. We ask for your hand to continue to be upon our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. You are dismissed.